I'm Jamie Pauls, and I'm joined today here on the Sero Talk Podcast Network by our very own Mr. Mike Calvo.
I'm not worthy.
Along with
I'm not worthy.
Mark Miller, who is the USA rep for Bradley Smoker. So, first of all, Mike, nice to have you back on the podcast.
I told you, man, I'm not worthy, dude. I'm not worthy. How are you, Jamie? Nice to see you again.
Absolutely. And Mark, good to have you joining us today as well.
Well, Jamie and Mike, great to be with you guys.
Mark, what would ever possess you to come onto this crazy podcast? Did someone invite you, or were you dragged in here kicking and screaming?
You know what? We love to talk about Bradley Smokers. Whenever we get the opportunity, we love to jump on board. And plus, we love you guys' show. So it works both ways.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, Bradley Smokers is now ranked along one of the evil companies in my list, because you guys have totally gotten me hooked on a product that, you know, I just wanted to get it just for fun, man. And now I just want to smoke everything. I've smoked meat. I want to smoke cheeses. And bad man.
Well, that's what's nice about the Bradley. You can actually do anything you want in there. You can cook with smoke or smoke without cooking. Do it both in conjunction. So it has several things that you can help yourself out with there. Good thing to be addicted to.
Yeah, it is.
So, Mike, what was the first thing that you smoked in this product?
I smoked a turkey. You know,
oh, wow.
I had this turkey, dude. I had this turkey lying around in the freezer, and my wife and I were like, what are we going to do with the turkey? And then something possessed me. I remember, I live in Orlando, and and my kids were like, Daddy, can you make smoked turkey legs? Because we have them, you know, at Universal Studios and stuff. And we've been known to make an excuse just to go to Universal, just to go have a smoked turkey leg, or at SeaWorld. And I said, sure, Daddy can do it, you know, because Daddy can do anything, and especially with the Bradley, and that's what we did. I did a nice brine, which I found on their website, which is very accessible, and they just have thousands of recipes up there in the forums, and I found it was just awesome. It was very easy to do, and did the brine, and then the next day just took out the bird, jammed a thermometer in it, put it in the smoker, and just smoke to my little heart's content.
My mouth is watering the whole time you're talking here. That's absolutely a fact.
I do this for a living, and you guys are making me hungry.
Yeah, exactly.
But Mark, what do you like to smoke in the Bradley? I mean, what do you enjoy doing?
You know, it depends on the mood. I've done everything from jerky in there, nuts. You mentioned cheeses, you know, brisket, turkey, chicken, ribs, really whatever you're hungry for. The latest thing I've been kind of getting into, which it seems ironic to a lot of people, is actually just your plain old hamburgers. Putting a little hickory smoke on a hamburger really makes it taste like an out-to-eat hamburger, and I'm addicted to that as well.
You know, I thought about doing that, and I have not done it yet, because everybody, you know, I'm in the South, of course, and and all the people I talk to here is like, you can't smoke a hamburger. That's not right meat. It's all ground up and stuff. And, you know, so you got to, well, come on, I could try it, right? No, that's blasphemy. You know, so when nobody's looking, at least when I think nobody's looking, I'm going to go and throw some burgers in there and really try it. I you know, that's interesting. Smoked nuts. And I really got to get together with you to find out how to do that stuff. There has been just an absolute awesome amount of help from the Bradley people, but I'm getting ahead of myself and talking about the company, which I'm sure Jamie will start asking me about shortly and all that stuff. But go ahead, Jamie, you were going to ask, because I could talk about this thing all day.
Well, yeah, I was just sitting here wondering, you know, what makes this product really easy to use for a blind person? Obviously, you did a lot of research when you settled on these guys.
Again, being from the South and being a guy, you know, my wife has joked around with me saying, you know, what's going on with you? I'm 44. I've lately, as a blind person, I've gotten into weapons. I've gotten into smoking meats, and my wife is threatening to get me a ticket to NASCAR to make my redneckism complete. But and redneck's not a bad word here in Florida.
No.
You know, it's a good thing. So, and which is hilarious, you know, because Mark, I'm Cuban.
Excellent.
So it makes
it
even better.
You're a redneck Cuban. I like that.
Yes, sir, compadre.
That's one bad dude right there, I think. Yeah. I'm telling you.
All you need to know is I'll smoke food and ask for one more cervezas, por favor.
There you go. Cerveza and smoked food tend to go very well together. I can tell you from experience, my brother. But so, you know, I went to my friend's house And he had this smoker. It was nasty, though. It was round, and he used to chop up like blocks of like dry wood and logs and put it in there, and he'd have to, you know, squirt it down with water. And I'd ask him, well, you know, Stan, how can I do this? And he said, you know, I don't know how a blind person would do it. It seems kind of difficult because you got to watch the fire and you got to make sure that, you know, you don't get flare-ups, and then you got to make sure you keep your meat at the right distance. And it just seemed to me a challenge to do. But I love this flavor of smoked food, and I always wanted to know how to do it. So one day I just decided, man, I got to find something that is blind friendly. And I started looking around, and everybody kept talking about this Bradley smoker. And there was another smoker, and I honestly don't, I'm not saying it just because you're here, Mark, I don't remember the brand, but it was between you guys and something else that kind of sort of works similarly, but not as well. It's got like a firebox on the side. I don't even know what it's called, but it doesn't really matter, because this thing, it was an amazing device. Everybody kept saying it looks like a refrigerator. I'm like, you know, and you got to picture this, Mark. I can't see this thing. So I'm like, it looks like a refrigerator, a big refrigerator, or a little refrigerator. So finally, somebody alludes to the fact that it looks like a college dorm room refrigerator. Yeah. They kept talking about, okay, first of all, it's like this college refrigerator, right? Okay. And then it uses, instead of having to go out there and get an axe, I mean, there's a certain amount of fun to thinking about going out there and just getting an axe and cutting up wood. But I like to keep my limbs. So I said, maybe there's a better way. And what these guys use is they use these things called bisquettes. Not biscuits, but bisquettes.
Right.
And what they are is they look like little hockey pucks, man. And they're different flavors of wood. But the Bradley guy could probably explain that a little bit better than I can, because I'm going to stumble around and do that. But I'm sure he's got like the perfect elevator pitch for that. So what are these? What are these? Tell me about these bisquettes.
The bisquettes are pure wood. They're 99.9% compressed wood. They're just a little bit of animal collagen, or basically, to be blunt, your animal fat, about 1/200th of animal fat compressed to hold it together. So it's 100% organic, very easy to use, and it's pure wood. You know, the misconception out there is a lot of people open up a bag of chopped wood from the other systems, and they'll smell that cherry, oh, smell that apple, or smell that hickory. When you open up wood, you should not be able to smell it. That scent or that flavor comes from once the wood starts to burn or smolder. So if you're opening up, what you're adding to those woods are dyes, perfumes, and there could be any kind of wood inside those bags. That's why the Bradley system is so unique. It's pure organic wood, and it's going to give you the most pure smoke and make your food taste that much better.
See, I knew he could do it much better than
absolutely
I could. So what you do, Jamie, is you take these that right next to the, on the left-hand side of this refrigerator thing, there's this little box on the bottom with this long, like cylindrical tube sticking out the top. Mm-hmm. And you stack these bisquettes in it. Now, the cool thing that you can do is, like you said, you've got different flavors. You've got mesquite, you've got maple, you've got apple. There's pecan, there's hickory, there's a ton of them. And each bisquette lasts, it burns for 20 minutes. Okay. It'll, like this long tube leads into this chamber with a little like a conveyor belt looking thing or feeling thing that slides it out onto a burner, and it burns for 20 minutes and then pushes it off and drops it off the edge into a little bowl of water that you, of course, strategically place under the burner so that the smoldering puck or bisquette will fall into it. And it makes a really cool noise when it drops in there. And yes, Mark, we can hear it because we're blind people and we've got that bat hearing. But then it moves another bisquette onto the burner and begins the whole 20-minute process all over again. But Jamie, what you can do is you can put a couple of hickory, then some pecan, then some apple, then more hickory, and then so you can actually like layer the smoke flavors in your meat, which you can't do that in, you know, your regular old redneck smoker. You can't do that. Not as clean, because I mean, it's gone. The smoke, the old smoke is gone, and then the new smoke comes in when it starts burning. So it's literally like if you had started up all over again. At least that's been my experience. And you can come up with some pretty interesting flavors, some good and some not so good. But it's not Bradley's fault. But it really has been a blast. And so basically you put your biscuits in here and then you turn it on. And I like to turn it on all the way up, and it's just a knob. You just turn it to the right all the way clockwise after you put your racks in there with your meat or whatever. Or you can wait a little while, and there's a reason why you might not want to wait. If you do wait, the thing is that once it warms up to the temperature you want it to be, and if you open the door, every time you open the door on that smoker, or on any smoker for that matter, you're going to lose temperature. And the reason is because, again, it's a college refrigerator looking thing, and it is sealed up. So it's perfectly sealed, and that heat retains in there and stays pretty darn steady all the way through. But you push the button, it advances a biscuit onto the little tray, and it runs that biscuit for 20 minutes. And then after a little while, your temperature is up. I like to bring it up to about 220 or 225, depending on what I'm cooking. For the turkey, like I brought it up to 225, and I forget how long I left it on there. But you just put your food, you put your turkey on a rack, put it in there, and then you, through the top of the little refrigerator-looking thing, you put your meat thermometer in. In this particular case, I was putting the iGrill in there, and put it in, connect to the iPhone, and just watch it go, and just put enough. It takes 3 biscuits an hour, and it's just, it's an amazing process, and it starts stinking up the place in a very positive way, though.
We talked about a 20-minute cycle, and the reason we do that 20-minute cycle, just so I can let people know why, you want to keep that as cool as possible. We want our heating element of the actual smoker to regulate the heat. So every 20 minutes, it'll keep that wood as cool as possible, push it into the water bath or the bowl of water, if you will. Plus, it does two things. Number one, not only do you get a fresh biscuit, so you get that pure Bradley smoke, once it turns to it's starting to turn to a hard ash, it gets rid of that resins, tars, and chemicals that could be going into your wood by extinguishing that and getting fresh wood every time. So you probably had some smoked meats that tasted kind of bitter. With the Bradley system, you won't have that because you get fresh, pure smoke every time. We're not cindering and smoldering ash in the bottom of this unit.
And how long does it take to actually, like, smoke a turkey?
Dude, I've smoked so many different things between now and then that, look in the show notes, people. It'll be there.
We get that question quite a bit, actually, and it all depends on different variables. How much smoke flavor do you want on it? What's the size of the bird in this case? How long are you trying to do it? There's nothing wrong with using a Bradley smoker to purely smoke and get the infused flavor inside there and then finish things off inside your oven, inside the house. It does everything. Like I said earlier, you can cook without smoking this. Basically, it will cook anything you want. It'll smoke without cooking, which you can do your nuts, your cheeses, those types of things, or it can do both in conjunction. So the weight, the type of meat, your thermometer that you talked about is going to be your guide, how long you need to keep it in there.
Yeah, and we use a dual. Now, the Bradley does have a little thermometer in the door, and of course, for blind folks, you can't see it. So what we do is with the dual thermometer on the iGrill, we put one in there to measure the temperature of the environment and one to measure the meat, of course. So you can, and on your iPhone, you can go ahead and see not only the temperature of the smoking environment, but also the temperature of your meat, which kind of brings me, you guys have a digital version, which is not the version that I reviewed. Blind folks and digital, Mark, we don't get along very well with these little displays. It just doesn't work well. But the iGrill gave me a great idea. When do we get to see the iBradley or the iSmoke, where we can just like pull up an application on the iPhone and it'll show us what's going on the little display? That way we could, because the digital, explain to us the difference between the analog and the digital one.
Sure. The analog one basically gets self-fed, meaning as many biscuits that you put in the system or the cylinder tube that's on the left-hand side, and we call that the smoke generator. It's basically two components of a Bradley smoker. There's a smoke generator with a tube on top that holds your biscuits and then the heating box. Now, the advantages of the digital for a person that is sighted can actually go through, do the exact temperature, like you said, 220. You can make sure that it maintains at 180, and I only want to smoke for 20 minutes. It'll shut the unit down, either the smoke generator or the heat, depending on how long you program it to cook. So it's very user-friendly as far as keeping it the exact temperature and only smoking it for a certain amount of time. That's really the main difference. For a sighted person, I would say the digital is the best. Obviously, for a blind person, it's the other way around. It's completely better to have the analog version. Now, they both work exactly the same as far as the cooking process.
I would suggest to our listeners as well, the digital one is a bit more expensive, and I would venture to say, just from using it, and I don't mean to I'm not being crass. It works for who it works for, but I kind of like tinkering with it, like most guys do, I guess. You know, I don't want to be such a geek about it. Well, I'm going to set it to 223.4 degrees for 3.2 minutes, and you know, so the whole idea here of being able to really tweak it, I guess, would be cool if we could see the screen, but. Just because you don't get to see the digital guys, I don't really believe that you're going to lose much in the experience. It is truly a wonderful device to use. I mean, I can't tell you how all kinds of fun that I've had because it's a conversation piece. People come out and go, oh, you got a beer in there? Wait, what is that?
You know, we do find a lot of times people say, listen, don't tell my wife or don't tell my husband how easy it is. Because I like to go outside and have a beer, and my wife or my husband thinks I'm working my butt off out there. So they're both going to be, like you said, they're going to be friendly enough to anybody out there to get that rich smoke flavor when you're barbecuing and or drying or dehydrating, for that matter.
So you can dehydrate in this thing too, huh?
Yes, you can actually dehydrate it. Basically, how easy that is, you make sure the damper on top, which is the flue where the air releases or the smoke releases, you want to open that up. You want to turn the smoke generator off, turn the heat up. And you can do your own jerky. You can dehydrate fruits like, you know, they talk about the sun-dried tomatoes. They can do apples. You can do bananas. So it's really good to make your own trail mix on this unit as well.
You know, by the way, speaking of you know, you talk about these recipes, and not only are they available in a form of, you know, on the website, which is very accessible, but I've got to applaud you guys on also having accessible PDF versions of everything that comes in the box. And that is something that I found to be tremendously useful. And, you know, as a blind consumer, I was able to get this thing from Amazon, which I bought on Amazon, and there's a link to it in the show notes. And I got it within 2 days. I brought it in. I opened up the box. I was able to follow the instructions from the PDF, set the thing up myself. Not that I would have needed to, but, you know, I just try not to be that guy who doesn't read instructions. And just was really able to enjoy the PDF files that were available on the Bradley Smoker page. And of course, I also connected with you guys on Twitter and found that not only are you responsive, but you're really responsive on Twitter. So that was also, you know, the customer service I've received from Bradley was second to none. It was really an amazing experience.
Well, we appreciate that. We hope to continue to make it even better and better and better as we go.
So it's just us. So give us some tips and tricks here real quick. Just something that's, what's your favorite, coolest thing that's like, we might not come across very easily, but that you could share with us? What's your favorite thing to do on the smoker?
Well, I like ribs, but I hate to say it live on the air, but hey, when I do cook my ribs, I actually, you know, pre-season, a lot of people, believe it or not, in Iowa, boil their ribs. I don't do that. I take them out of the smoker. I smoke them for about 3.5-4 hours, and I finish mine off on the grill. I like the charred taste a little bit, and it gives that little grill taste. So that's the way I finish off my grills, and I've had nothing but compliments. But I've tried to do it just on the grill, and it doesn't work. Now, you can do them just in the smoker, but I just like that little bit of grill time on mine. And so if I was going to give anybody a tip, the way restaurants do it, a lot of restaurants smoke their meats for several hours, then they'll kiss it basically with the grill to get those grill marks and the look and the scent of the grill, and they'll serve it up on your plate.
Two questions. So do you use a dry rub, or are you using, marinate them? Or?
Yeah, I use a dry rub on all my ribs. I don't marinate my ribs. I do marinate my chicken, and you can do it old school, like the Italian dressings or the Asian teriyaki type things. And that's just to personal taste, but mm-hmm. A lot of dry rubs work good and it will not hurt the smoke flavor. You'll be amazed how some of the smoke can actually enhance some of the garlic seasoning, some of the salts. The different name brands that are out there, like Lowry's, or even some sauces. I will pre-sauce mine, smoke, and then continue to add sauce, you know, every few hours, and makes for real moist meat. Now, one thing that, you know, the Bradley does so well is you can't really over-smoke something. My point is there's going to be a caramelized crust on your chicken, on your ribs, once you get going, and pretty soon you're just basically wasting biscuits. And we'd love you to go out and burn our biscuits like crazy and continue to need to buy some more. However, there's only so much smoke that can go into food. It's going to start bouncing off and just going right up your flue or right up the damper. So be prepared to, like you said earlier in the program, to test the time, test the flavor of the biscuits, putting different ones in there. When I do chicken, I use hickory mesquite, then I use a little apple. I kind of kiss it with a little bit of apple smoke at the very end, and that seems to be my recipe, and people love my chicken. the neatest thing about this whole process is my friends actually cannot believe that I cooked it, but now they figured out that I have a Bradley, so now they all have them, so now they're just as good as I am.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you may not be able to oversmoke, but dude, I can assure you that you can overcook, because my first attempt at a brisket, oh my goodness, you could throw it at somebody and kill them. I mean, I read a recipe that said that I needed to smoke the thing for like 18 hours.
Yeah.
And I did. And oh my goodness, it was something you could throw it at people and hurt them. And the next time, but I was challenged. And then the next time I got another brisket, and I did that one in about 7 hours, and 7 or 8 hours. What is the key to brisket? Can you kind of share a little bit with us there?
Because, well, I think, and I'm not a certified chef by any means, but I think, you know, and this is all to taste, but I think once you rub it, and you got to remember that a Bradley cooker or Bradley smoker, it's a slow process. A lot of guys and gals get too gung-ho, and they think, well, I got to get this done. I have to get this done today. I want to get it done now. Well, plan ahead, because if the slower you cook at a lower temperature, the more juicy and more succulent any type of meat, whether it's chicken, brisket, ribs, turkey, whatever you're going to have. So it is, consider this a slow cooker.
What's the lowest you can put this thing on to cook at? So, I mean, because everybody always says 220, but what I'm hearing you say is you can actually cook it at a lower temperature and get a better result.
Right. In fact, chicken, I cook at 180. I just cook it for a little bit longer time, but I cook it at 180. And, you know, that's just kind of fiddling with the knob, and you can kind of tell from the thermostat. Now, the nice thing about these are, obviously, you said it earlier, they're fully insulated. They have a magnetic seal, like just like a dorm refrigerator, if you will. But you kind of got to watch that. I mean, you don't want to overheat it. You'd rather have it a little bit less and cook longer than to cook higher for a less period of time.
So can you cook at, say, 160 or 1? I mean, what's the lowest temperature you would go at, you know, to cook something? And where would you stop the smoke, you know, and just keep it cooking? You know, will the smoke stay there?
Well, the smoke will eventually get out of the box because there's a damper on the top, and there's obviously gaps. It has to have air. If it was too tight, you'd have a bunch of water in the bottom, and it'd start to fly out of the bottom. So you want to make sure you keep the damper open a little bit. Mm-hmm. But once that smoke has basically infiltrated your chicken or your ribs or your brisket, cook it as normal. Like I said, you can cook without smoke in this unit. So, my wife is not a huge smoke flavor fan. She likes her food to just have a little subtleness of hickory or mesquite. So I take her stuff, bring it in, put it in the oven after I've already smoked it. So I will put hers on first, smoke it just a little bit, and then low cook it inside. That way it's there. And I like mine a little bit more smoky, so I keep it on. But chicken, I only smoke for about an hour, hour and a half. And that's just perfect taste. Then I cook it in there for 4 hours.
That's what I'm looking for, because I, of course, you're inclined to, you know, if you're going to cook it for 6 hours, you're inclined to, you know, go ahead and throw 18 biscuits in there. And what I'm hearing you say is, no, that's not necessary. At what point are you over smoking something to where it's not in the food anymore? It's just kind of floating around, and now you're making it nasty instead of enjoyable to people.
From my personal experience, a couple hours is enough for almost everything. You know, if you're really going to cook a brisket, maybe 4 hours max of the smoke. And that's just my personal taste. Chicken, I used to do it for two and a half hours, and it tasted like I was eating wood. You know, it was the chicken was moist, but I had so much smoke flavor in it where it was overdone. Where now, an hour, hour and 20 minutes, you're going to be good to go.
See, you bad man. I've got 24 drumsticks sitting right out there in my kitchen that I'm ready to throw on the smoker today. So I'm going to do it.
Well, you guys have really piqued my interest, and to be honest, I'm not one to do a lot of cooking, but I'm curious, and I know our listeners are going to be really fascinated by this discussion, and there are many out there who do, you know, cook and grill and that sort of thing. The website, as Mike alluded to, or actually mentioned several times, is quite accessible, and there's a very interesting history of the company on there. Mark, why don't you go ahead and give us the website and give us some contact information in case folks want to get a hold of you.
You bet. Very simple to get a hold of Bradley by simply going to bradleysmoker.com, and that's anywhere in the world. Now, we do have different areas. If you're listening overseas, it can be in the UK, but the main site will direct you to all those. We do have an 800 number, which is 866-508-7514. So 1-866-508-7514. The United States, our main office here is in Galesburg, Illinois, right in the middle of the country. So we're excited to be servicing that way. But, you know, a lot of different websites have this product for sale. You know, you can go to your Bass Pro Shops, your Cabela's, your Sportsman's Warehouses, and several different Ace Hardwares, and et cetera, et cetera. But it's out there, and we'd love to have you guys at least get online and check us out further and see if smoking might be something that you'd enjoy.
Yeah, I found a great deal on it at Amazon.com. It was by far the best price, and, you know, Amazon Prime made it so much easier to have it to my house quickly. Although I did see, as I looked, many organizations or many companies are selling it with free shipping. I don't know how they do that because the unit weighs about 40 pounds or something, but 40 or 50 pounds. But it is a nice big box, and it's easy to unpack and everything. So, but I did find, and I'll put a link to the one that I found in the show notes. Real quick, one quick question before we go, Mark. What is the difference? There are two different versions available right now of the analog. There's the original, and then there's the, I believe it's the 2166, is it, or the 266?
Yeah, well, there's the original, then there's the new original.
Okay.
Which is basically just a revamped unit. We've taken the controls off the bottom of the unit and put them more on the smoke generator for ease of use. It's all stainless steel inside. We've reinforced the rack systems, beefed up the electronics. Pretty soon, the original smoker will no longer be available. It'll just be the new original. It's the one that if you go on the website, it does have a smoke thing on top. Now, the nice thing about this, if you guys don't care if I reiterate this, is this thing is fully insulated, so it's cool to the touch on the outside, so it's very safe for people, pets, kids, everybody that's going to be out there. So you can actually touch this unit while it's full throttle cooking, and it's going to be safe. And that we really like that aspect of it as well.
Yeah, I actually, and to get the stuff, the food out, I actually used some gloves, some wonderful thick rubber gloves that we got from Blind Mice Mart. They're a shameless plug for those guys, for Dale and those guys. But they're gloves that you can just basically touch just about anything with and open it up and reach in there and grab the stuff. And the racks, even without the, I mean, not without the gloves, but after you take them off, the racks cool off pretty quickly. And cleanup is really a snap on this thing as well.
Excellent. Well, Mark, I'd like to thank you for joining us today. It's been a very interesting discussion.
I've enjoyed myself.
And Mike, thank you for introducing us to this product today.
Yeah, hey, thanks, guys. I really enjoyed this, and happy smoking.
We've been visiting with Mark Miller and Mike Calvo right here on the Serotalk Podcast Network.